Well, good evening, everyone. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this Wednesday evening? You know, sometimes, well, not sometimes, often, quite often, you know, we go to church on Sundays, of course, but in the middle of the week, you need a refresher almost. Today, I really need a refresher. You know, the enemy wants to sneak in. You know, I'm trying to fast and just really, you know, settle myself and meditate on the Lord today. But the devil was on 10 today in the Owosso School District as I subbed in a class today. And I just had to realize, okay, you know, this is just the enemy wanting to attack and disturb your peace and your time of consecrating yourself. I don't know if he won or if I won in that moment, but right now I win because I choose to praise his name. I choose to bless his name in spite of what I went through today. How many of you are ready to bless the name of the Lord? Come on, let's stand to our feet and give God some praise this morning. This evening, yeah. See? That's why people need naps. It is nighttime. It is dark.
I will praise you.
to be praised. Hallelujah. Lift your voices and sing, bless the Lord.
Thank you.
worthy of all glory, of all honor. It all belongs to you, Lord. We take no credit for the things that are done in our lives, Father, for we know that you are in control of all things. Father, the very breath that we breathe, we know it's because of you. And for that we say thank you, God. We bless your name. Thank you for your goodness, Father. Thank you for your mercy that endures. That's good. Going to give the Lord a hand for you. If you just take a moment and greet your neighbor, welcome everyone who's in-house, those who are viewing via live stream or Facebook Live, we welcome you to the presence. We expect nothing less than what God has for us tonight. Welcome, welcome. Hallelujah. I know that our youth are going to the back. We have Ira here this evening and Gabe here who are going to take our youth to the back, and they're going to have their time of fellowship. Hallelujah. Again, welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study. We want to just quickly remind everyone that this weekend it is the memorial services for Pamela Planter, who is Brenda's daughter, Paulette's sister, and we want to just keep their family in prayer, amen. And some of you I know have been contacted maybe by Gary or Tamla or Miss Linda Oglesby in regards to repass and helping out. So if you want to contribute it anyway, please see Linda. Linda, can you raise your hand, Linda Oglesby? Here, I don't know what all else you all need for this coming Saturday. And again, that's Saturday at 10 o'clock in the morning. Is that correct? That's correct, right? 10 o'clock a.m. And you all should have received an email regarding that ongoing service. Are you ready for the Word of God? Let's welcome Elder Gary Tarver.
Can we do an affirmation prayer right quick? Okay. All right. You don't mind. Okay.
Absolutely
not. Okay. Let's stand and do our affirmation prayer.
Hallelujah. I think that's his way of saying you didn't do all you were supposed to do tonight. I totally forgot. Come on, everyone together. Father,
all right,
I thank
you
that as I delight myself in you, you will give me the desires of my heart, because you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. I will not lose heart or give up, because I can do all things through you who strengthens me. And I will reap in my due season if I do not get weary in doing good. Father, I decree according to 3 John 2 that in every area of my life I am prospering and I am in good health, even as my soul prospers. I am free from pain, sickness, and disease, and I walk in divine health. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Amen. God bless you. Just wanted to say real quick, you can come on, Gary. Pastor Alvin, of course, is here. He's in a class this evening, so just be praying for him, and he sends his love. Hey, baby. Love you.
So good evening again. So our one verse, I gave it to us on the team meeting. Y'all remember what it was? Okay. It's 1 Timothy 6 and 10, and it reads, "For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil." And do you have it in its completeness, Miss Jane, to read all the way through?
For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some have stumbled because of it. Others have strayed
from faith and pierced themselves through wisdom. Amen. So there's a lot in this when we talk about money and the love of it. And there's a song that came out in 1973. It was the OJs. Y'all remember this? For the Love of Money. That's when most of y'all was probably at the club and, you know, jamming with that, right? You wasn't? Okay, some of y'all. Anyway. Tonight, I want you guys to get loose. We're going to talk about the word. I want you to interject, and so we can grow and sharpen iron, you know. You can be transparent if you deal with stuff, you know. We're going to kind of do some introspecting of looking at ourselves. We're not pointing any fingers, but we want to look at ourselves, and we want to see where we are in our faith walk, right? Amen. So some of the words was, some people got to have it. Some people really need it. They do things, they do bad things. They do good things. Talking about cash money, dollar bill, y'all. For the love of money, people will steal from their mother. For the love of money, people will rob their own brother. For the love of money, people can't even walk the streets, for they're afraid who they're going to meet. For the love of money, almighty dollar, people will lie. Lord, they will cheat. For the love of money, please don't care. People don't care who they hurt or beat. For the love of money, a woman will sell her precious body for a small piece of paper, it carries a lot of weight. It says, I know that money is the root of all evil. Do funny things to some people. Give me a nickel, brother. Can you spare a dime? Money can drive some people out of their mind. That's some of the lyrics, but you get the gist. That was way back then, and that's still today. Can you turn me down just a little bit? Is that too loud? I think I got an echo going. But so all this has been going on since the beginning of time. Money or some kind of bargaining that will get you whatever you want. So 1 Timothy 6 and 10 is our focus verse, but it stems from a couple of verses or scriptures that are very impactful and encapsulate everything. So can someone find me Matthew 22, 37, and 39? I think I got it here, though. Yeah. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophet hang on these two commandments. Now, there's a lot of commandments out there and laws and everything, but God is so gracious. If you get those two right, all of them, you get an A, because everything hinges on there. All humanity hinge on these two scriptures right there. So for the love of money hinges to that. So did anybody come up with some other verses that dealt with money? Brother Ali, what do you have? Wise men saves for the future. Okay. Anybody else? Yes. Man. Okay. I think I'm gonna have that one up there. Anybody else? If you got your phone, you can Google it. 1 Timothy 17. Mama Essie was quoting it with her lip syncing there. It's in our heart. Here's one here. But godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and we surely cannot take anything out. Amen. Here's another one. And I think, did you just do that one? Was that Can't Serve Two Masters? Is that the one you did? Okay. You can see him pondering between the two. What good will it be for a man to gain the whole world, yet to forfeit his soul? So when we look at these and we read these, kind of look inside yourself, because we're all tempted at times. Because the love of money, it becomes an idol, so to speak, right? And God said, I will have no other God before me. I am a jealous God. So last one here. But where your treasures is, there will your heart be also. Which one? That was that one? Or you got that one? You got one? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
This one says, set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. Colossians 3 and 2. Well, they sound like they're having fun. So, the scriptural background, let's get this in context. This is in Timothy, and this Paul writing a letter to Timothy. Timothy is a young pastor starting out basically in Ephesus. And Paul is trying, and a lot of this letter is talking about false teachers and stuff, people coming against the word of God. And Timothy's been raised in a Christian home by his mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. His father was a Greek, so he was not really fully Christian, but he was raised in a Christian home. He was did some of the Jewish rituals when he got older so he could be accepted to preach. Because, you know, if you're not there, they're not really going to receive everything from you. So there's some, Charles say, geezers that are going around, and they're doing some false things, and they're doing things for self-gain, really. So that's kind of the gist of what's going on. And Paul is warning Timothy against those who seem to treat the word of God as a plaything instead of a precious gift. So here's a question for us. How many of you were raised with humble beginnings? That's everybody? Nobody was rich coming up? So, I may pick on somebody. Tracy? What was that like with humble beginnings? Three bathrooms and okay. With four kids. Who didn't have indoor plumbing? No indoor plumbing? No. How many had two bathrooms? One and a half. You're the rich girl in the room. We had what? I think there were six kids. My parents had eight, and one bathroom. Now I can't remember even really having any big issues with the bathroom. It was just there for me. We made it work. Isn't that something? How you can have a little and make it go. So. With those humble beginnings, and anybody can answer this, how do you look at, when you look at finances and money, how does it drive your mind to operate in life now? Are you frugal? You kind of tight with your money? Oh, Ollie's tight. Deidre, you tight or Bifes tight? Oh, okay. Who are you pointing at, ladies? Oh, sorry. Oh, don't spend every penny you have. Okay, so are you more apt to spend now that you have money and enjoy it? Or you still kind of hold back because of what you've been through because you didn't want to go back to that lifestyle? Huh? That's another subject, brother. this woman you gave me, Lord, is that what you're trying to say? So who kind of holds back because they know where they come from and don't want to be, you know? I ain't saying you're cheap. I'm just saying you're aware of the value of a dollar, so to speak, right? Okay, she's telling on me. But it's okay to have money, right? I mean, God wants you to enjoy life, right? But then there is a point where you have to be good stewards of that as well, right? You just can't go blowing it willy-nilly on everything. You know, you have others to think about, right? You got to live for tomorrow. Can't spend everything in today and think you're going to have something for tomorrow. So a lot of people buy what they want and beg for what they need. So it gets them in trouble. One of the biggest threats that people deal with is the credit card. You know, nothing's coming out their pocket. They just swipe, swipe, swipe. All the bags is coming out. And then that interest rate, boom. And you're paying for years just to get it paid off. And the stuff that you bought is worn out before you paid it off. Ain't that something? So let me tell you, my dad, this used to kind of bother me. And my dad come from humble beginnings, too. He was within the Depression times. There was hardly any food, jobs. It was rough. So, and we would go to the some relatives in Wagner, Oklahoma, and he was going down there to take them some money because they blew it. The mother would go to the bingo and lose the money, and then they don't have any food, they don't have any lights and stuff. But him, he would go down there and give them money. And I said, Daddy, they just blowing the money. You just giving them money, and they just keep blowing it. And I'll never forget, he said, because it was like six or seven kids, he said, Gary, they got to eat. It ain't the kids' fault that they're not eating. And it kind of hit me. I was kind of upset because I say, they just going to go out and do this again, blow the money. But he's coming from a place where he spent some nights not eating. So he in his mind, there's nobody going to be hungry around him. I mean, people used to come by our house, and we'd feed everybody. Y'all remember those days when you just would feed anybody? Right now, we don't even know our neighbors. Better not even look toward my house, you know, that way. But that's the way he came from, you know, that kind of lifestyle. He was humble in that regard because of what he had went through. But anyway, so why is it that God talks about money so much? I think out of his 39 to 40 parables, 11 of them was talking about money. So why do you think that was so important to Jesus to bring that to us? Are we thinking why? Or do we know why? Depend on him? Good answer. So, okay, it's easily can lose focus on who your real source is, right? Because I'm telling you, money is powerful. At the heart of Christianity lies the premise that God created everything and ultimately belongs to him. Human beings exist as stewards or managers of God's resources, right? This includes our money. Stewardship isn't just an aspect of Christian life, it is the whole of Christian life. For many of us, struggle to align ourselves with God's will is played out in the realm of finances. God's will. We take the money and we rely on that and disregard God's will. It's where the real battle happens for so many of us. It's really easy because if you got it in your hand, you see stuff in the physical. Flesh wants what it wants, right? The spirit is something that we really can't see, but we know it's there and we can feel it. Because humble beginnings and where you are now, you think that was you, but that was God all along. Get you to this point. And we don't want to ever lose perspective of that. So, yes, Miss Essie. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you read the scripture called Job, they're talking about don't live for treasure on earth. And that's the person that he's just holding on to because, you know, he loves to possess the money.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, in some ways that gives him a little more power to rule other things than other people.
What? Can control people because you got it? Prestige and all that comes with it? Bigger born. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thy fool. Your soul may be required of you tonight. Yeah. Yeah. Storing it all up. The truth money tells. One of the troubling characteristics of fallen humanity is our tendency to compartmentalize what we believe from what we do. Christ addresses this divorce between what we profess and what we do when he says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So they're saying one thing, I love you, God, I love you, God, but their heart is over here loving money or whatever that thing is, right? Is money your master? That's a question. Jesus warns that serving money means we're not serving him. In other words, money cannot be our top priority. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, and he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Not really a whole lot more you can say to that. There's no saddle, you know, splitting the two. You're going to cling to one, you're going to follow the one or the other. And many have gone astray following the money and thinking they can get back to God. Well, you're trying to split now, right? There's in Matthew on the Mount of Sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking about the pathways. There's a wide path, and then there's a narrow path. The wide leads to destruction. But a lot of people are on the wide because they think everybody is doing the right thing. They're saying all the right things, but their heart, the heart, is not in the right place. The narrow road, it says few find it. That's a scary thought, that few find it. Because it's really a matter of your heart, where it's at. God will have no other God before you. And that means anything. Your children, your spouse, your job, your prestige, all of that has to take second. Your priority is God and God alone. He will not share his throne with anyone. Any comments? Three signs that you are a lover of money. Oh, y'all ready for this? There might be some more, but I got three. And I don't want nobody tipping out, walking out, but anyway, let's see here. All right. Let's talk about this first. Lovers of money exalt the things of man. So I'm going to read a little bit what that's talking about. First, let me say that money is one of our top worries, and often it's second to health and safety. After that, money is a top priority of worry. Money divides families, breaks up marriages, turns gentle dispositions into a fit of rage. How we handle our money says more about our priorities than any word we could ever speak. Is money your master? Jesus warns the serving money means we are not serving him. In other words, money cannot be our top priority. And we talked about that you can't serve two masters. So lovers of money exalt the things of man. In Luke, I think it talks about the Pharisees. And I had never seen that or remember seeing that. The Pharisees, Luke says, who loved money. We look at them as these devout men of the law and have all it going on. Can y'all read that? Can y'all see that? He heard all this. They heard all what Jesus was saying. He was teaching and everything. And they sneered at him and they frowned at him and they, that ain't me, you know. And he said to them, you are the ones who justify yourself. They were the leaders. That's like a judge committing a crime, and he's going to try his own case. So you're going to justify yourself. God knows your heart. That was the time for them to check themselves. And we use that a lot, or you hear people use that a lot. God knows my heart. Problem is, he does. He really do. So, but do you know your heart? Because you can deceive yourself that you're doing the right thing. These were devout men. These were preachers, pastors, whatever you want to call them. And they were trying, they love money. I don't know if we could see that today or not. Sometimes you can probably kind of guess where their target is and where it's not. And I'm not going to pass aspersions on anybody. I'm just saying, if Jesus says it, and you think things have changed since then, I think you would be sadly mistaken. So, number two would be lovers of money place their confidence in what they possess. In what they possess. So, Bice Boyd sent me a thing from Deion Sanders. And Deion, y'all remember, y'all know who Deion Sanders is? Prime time, through the little high stepping. So he had an interview, and I want you to hear this so you'll get a gist, because he had everything going for him. Yes.
You could sleep in the bed with two and three women, and nobody's satisfied. You got 100 suits, you can't cover up the pain. You got a 300, 400, 500 pairs of shoes, you can't take a step in the right direction. You got 9 to 10 cars in the driveway, you ain't going nowhere. You got a 15,000 square foot house, but you ain't got a home. By the time you get to the bottom, because God is calling you collect, and you do not want to accept the charges because you know it's going to cost you something. So that noise in your life that you can't turn it off. You up to bat, and you 3 for 4 that night, and you stolen 3 bases, but that ringing is in your ears and in your head, and you cannot turn it off. You go on the football field, and you dominate. You breaking a pass, you returning touchdowns, you high-stepping, you doing your dance, but after the game, it's ringing, and you can't get this out of your head. So now you're just crying out. You're crying out for help, and you began to be suicidal. You began to be suicidal. So you sitting on the bench with the Cincinnati Reds, and you're 3 for 4, few stolen bases, and you take a bottle of pills right in front of all your teammates. That's your cry for help, because you can't cry. You know why? I'm the man. How can the man cry for help? We all told our sons back in the day, you don't cry. You ain't soft.
Rich man. So rich people have issues too when it comes to money. You see them with all that glamour on TV and stuff. Most of them are pretty sad and broken. And it's on the other spectrum, people that are poor and down and out are hurting too. So loving money does not discriminate. It's a matter of perspective, where you're at. How many glad that they did have humble beginnings? Because I tell you, when you're like that, you lean on God a whole lot more. I mean, it don't feel good sometimes, but to be able to call and feel up and love on Him and why He love on you, there's no greater feeling. So let me ask you this before I go to the third one. Name some things that money can't buy. Love, happiness, peace, health, a home. Yeah. Anything else? So everything else money can buy, right? I mean, the list goes on and on, right? I mean, salvation. It says salvation's free, right? Friends, true friends, you can't buy them. What about trust? Character? What's that? Nope. You're right. I don't know how much money that would take, but you'd have to keep giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. Can it buy manners? How about your morals? Okay. So when the rubber hits the road, what God can give us that money can't, isn't that some kind of peace to have? Have you ever just sat outside and watched the stars? You can't pay for that. You can't buy that nowhere. Or your little grandchild running and hugging you. Lisa, I know you know about that, right? All them beautiful grandkids you had here. You can't put a price on that. How about a $20,000 bed and you can't sleep? What good is that? That's what Dion was saying. I said, I got all this, and there's no peace. And he said, God was calling him collect, and he didn't want to answer the call because it was going to cost him something. Isn't that something? And God tugs on us all the time, and sometimes we don't want to answer. He's been so good to us, I'm telling you. Far better than what we deserve. He's given us so much. Number 3, lovers of money never have enough, more and more. The flesh is never satisfied. That reminds me of, what's his name, Jeff Bezos? How much was it costing him to go to space? It's quite a bit of money. Now, we say that's wasteful, right? I mean, in our mind, that's wasteful. But on a lower scale, are we just as guilty of being wasteful? I mean, before you point fingers because of the high amount, it's the idea of being wasteful, not being good stewards, right? God wants us to be good stewards of our finances. So, Ecclesiastes 5. He who loves money will never be satisfied with money, nor he will who loves wealth. All of this is vanity. Are you seeking the comfort and leisure that comes with money? Are you waiting until you have enough before you can be satisfied? Or are you content with what God has given you? I think one of the scriptures says, with godliness comes great content. With godliness comes content. With great gain. Yeah. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have difficulties. But to have God in your life is far richer than anything you could ever could claim. So how do we get freed from money? Give it. That is an awesome answer, and it is. Giving keeps you humble. You don't get high and mighty by giving. That's the word. Yep. Giving is one of the biggest things you can do to keep you humble. Sometimes it's kind of hard to give too. Give to the poor. You remember when who was that that broke the alabaster box on Jesus' feet and the perfume went all over the house? And was it Judas that got mad? We could have sold that. You know Judas wasn't worried about. Judas loved money, man. It wasn't too much longer than 30 pieces of silver? You sold your boy out like that for the love of money. Thing is, Jesus knew the whole time. He knew. I mean, think about it. If you know somebody is going to be doing you wrong, would you let them roll with you? I mean, golly, that's the compassion and love he had. That's the compassion and love he has for us. He lets us roll with him, and we turn our back on him sometimes. Come on back. We go on, do our thing. We get prodigal in our ways. And then we come back, and he's still there just waiting for us, isn't he? God, what a God we serve. Yeah, we could have been lost. But what Jesus did for us, he redeemed us. He gave us a way to escape the wrath of God, because anything that's against God, he has to punish, right? So we have that avenue now by receiving him. Not only that, when Jesus died and he rose, he gave us the power over sin. You think you're doing this all on your own? You better guess again. That's the love of God. That's Jesus that's doing that for us. that we can make those right decisions. Now, don't get me wrong. We're going to be struggling with this old man till the day we die. We won't get that glorified body when we have to deal with all this anymore. But that old man will rise up sometime, and we have to check him, put him under subjection. When we get sick, then we wonder where God is. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. We're going to get old. Things going to hurt. It's just a part and the process to a glorified body. It's just what it is, you know. He didn't spare his own son. Look what he went through. And it was all out of love. So, what else do I have up here? As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty or high-minded. Is that what you were reading a while ago? What somebody was reading at. Nor set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us everything to enjoy. Everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, giving, thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so they may take hold to which are truly, truly life. So we talked about the freedom is basically by giving will help us. Doing what? Yes. Uh-huh. I totally agree with that, because a lot of people can do things, but you remember how you felt more than what they actually did. That moment you felt that will live forever, really, in you. Right. Great testimony. Anybody had any testimonies like that where God just blessed you out of nowhere? I mean, you're the only one. No. Here's another thing that will free you. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but it is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. So it's all a matter of perspectives. Somebody needs a boat. Somebody needs to get out the boat. It's all a matter of perspective. So, if there's not any more, it's after 8, so I'd rather shut it down or close up. If there are any more comments or emotional outbursts. I'm ready to hear it before we close. Yes, sir. Took the gold chain. I don't know if I would want to have so much money I have to can't sleep because you worried about not having it, I guess. I mean, be looking around every corner like. So you're thinking of their motives all the time. Why are you here? But you have to be on guard, don't you, as well? If you, people will try to abuse you or use you. I don't know if that's a good problem to have or not, because on the other spectrum, being broke, it's not good either. It kind of hurts. You don't have many when you're broke? I don't know, man. Anyway, if you put God first, center, make God center of your life, because you know, man, with money, money's fickle. It changes. When you get here, the goalpost moves. You want to get there, then you want to get there. You'll never catch it. Your desires is just out of whack. You're never really satisfied with chasing money. Anyway. Close up tonight. We're gonna absolutely. Okay. Yeah, hallelujah. Wow. His faith. Yeah. That's a great testimony. Man. God is still in the blessing business. He shows up every once in a while for you to see, but he's always around, even when you don't see. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor, oh God. You are the head of our life. Lord, we continue to make you the center of our lives. Father God, we don't want anything to take your place. We love you. We love you because you first loved us. We thank you for your son who hung bled on yonder's cross, Father. Father God, we just give you so much glory. We give you all the honor. But it had not been for the Jesus, where would we be? Most of us have come from humble beginnings, but yet you've watched over us all the way. Father God, we look back and we say thank you. We look forward and we trust you, O God. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So next week, I may do some team building stuff. So bring your tennis shoes. Now, we're not going to run around this church, but there's some activities that I think that will kind of get your juices to going. A little competitive. We'll split up into groups. It'll be a lot of fun. And I hope everybody participate. It's gonna be a while. We may play a couple of rounds of the glory game, too, with a couple of prizes. So most of y'all have played that. It's kind of like, for Jermaine them, it's kind of like bingo. But every time I say something, it's something like the Rose of Sharon on your card, or anything that's related to Christ or his deity or something like that. And then we just, same way, it's just a little bit. And we shout glory when you, instead of bingo, you say bingo, you don't win, of course. So, but that's how that's played. So, then I had a couple little relay activities that we could do. It's not high impact. It's, I think, I don't want to go men against women because women are better multitaskers than men. So men are better builders, but this is going to have to take a little bit of both of it. I call it, one of them called the Tower of Babel. You know, Pastor preached about that a couple of Sundays ago. So anyway, with that being said, let's stand and we'll be dismissed. I give you the blessings from Deuteronomy 1 and 11. May the God of your fathers increase you 1,000 times more than you are and bless you just as he has promised. Amen. Be blessed.